It is so good to be here. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church and our drive-in service. It is good to gather together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, before we go to the Lord in prayer, I would like to ask all of you, please text any praises or prayer requests to 540-495-0501. Pastor Susan will lift them up in her prayer later on. Now, also before we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to ask anyone who's a teacher out there, honk your horns. Woohoo! Yes. Thank you, teachers. We want you to know how much we appreciate all of you and how we're lifting you up in prayer today. We love you. Thank you so much. Bow your heads with me and let's go to Father in prayer. Oh, good morning, Lord. We love you and we thank you for loving us. We don't deserve your grace or forgiveness, but we are so thankful that you have given this gift to us through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we need you right here and right now in this place. You know all our concerns, our fears, illnesses, weaknesses, and burdens. But you also know all our strengths, hopes, dreams, and abilities. We give ourselves to you, Lord, right now. Please use these broken vessels for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we all pray. Amen. And in the beginning of the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount. And we read what is called the Beatitudes. I like to say, I'd like to be that attitude. Amen. Oh, my goodness. As we read further, starting at verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" And he goes a little bit further in verse 14 through 16, and he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Lord, let us be that light. We all want to be a soul on fire.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had. When I have wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, see me through. Until all I see is you. Yeah, God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Turn to you again. run for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. The day when I am a soul on fire, God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire.
Ah, amen. Can I hear an amen? Yes. Yes. Now today, we're going to hear about how we are the body of Christ. Each one of us comes here with gifts to be used to share the gospel and the love of the Father. Unfortunately, there are some of us who don't realize they have God-given abilities and gifts that can help others. My mom was one of those people. She never saw the gifts that she had and the wonderful things that she did for other people. She didn't see it like I saw it. So right now, I just pray that we will all seek our Father and seek His will for us. And that way we can realize these gifts so that we can be the eyes and ears and feet and body of Christ. Lord, right now, we just pray that you will help us to remember we are your children and that that what you say about and to us is what matters the most. You told us that we are a chosen people. And that said, I am so glad, Lord, that I am who you say I am.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free. Child of God, yes I am. Free at last He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. The Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
The sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
Thank you so much, and now we will have our children's message.
Good morning, boys and girls of all ages. Whether you're here in person or on a screen, we are glad you are here. You know, today Pastor Susan is going to teach from a part of the Bible that talks about people who love and follow Jesus. And it says that even though we are lots of different people, we're like one body with many parts, the body of Christ. And sometimes you'll hear people say, you belong to the body of Christ, and this is what they're talking about. Here in our church, Bethany, there are lots of people, but we are one group, one body. All right, let's have a little physical activity. Everybody point to your head, because Jesus is the head of the body. He leads. He is the thinking part, the part that we want to follow and be like. But we all make up the other parts. It's just like our human body. Point to your ear, to your eye, to your nose, to your elbow, to your knee, to your toe. All these parts and many, many more make up our body. We need all of them to feel good and to be healthy and be able to do things. In the body of Christ, our church, we have all those parts too. Some people teach, some play instruments so we can sing, some lead groups, some work at the food pantry, some mow our grass, fix things, clean, sing, some fix food, some plan fun events. Some are prayer warriors, and they pray for everyone. Some send cards, or they call people who might be lonely. There's a place for everyone, and everyone is important, as Kathleen already stated. You are important, and we need all. So, I thought of this body of Christ being kind of like Mr. Potato Head. We've all played with the Mr. Potato Head, right? I mean, even when I was a kid, I had a Mr. Potato Head all those years ago. So if you only have the head and nothing else, well, Mr. Potato Head is just a big plastic potato, right? Not a lot of fun. But, sorry about that, the wind's blowing a little bit. If I start adding things, like if I start adding some feet and I start adding some arms, okay, if I start adding some eyes, maybe even a hat, a nose, whoops, think I got to do the mouth first. Been a while since I've played with Mr. Potato Head. A nose, and then of course some ears. Then Mr. Potato Head can become a really fun toy. And I can do lots of fun pretend things with him. I can even put lots of other parts in there that I've gotten with this toy. But all the parts need to be there for him to be useful, for him to be funny. I bet almost everyone here has seen the Toy Story movies. Honk your horn if you've seen Toy Story or raise your hand. Okay. And you know that Mr. Potato Head is one of the characters. Remember that sometimes in all the crazy action, Mr. Potato Head would lose some parts. And when that happened, Mr. Potato Head would get really wonky. And he would do weird things, or maybe he couldn't see or even move because he needed all of his parts to do his job. And our church is the same way. We need everyone, all the parts of the body, every single person, for our Bethany Church to be all that Jesus wants it to be. And that includes you boys and girls of all ages. Every person, every part is so very important. Jesus loves each of you so much. And even though our body seems a little separated and not together right now, we need to do everything we can to connect with each other, to pray for each other, and to encourage each other. You are an important part of the body of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love our children. They are your children. In this different time, please help them to understand that we are the church. We are your followers, whether we are in the building or not. For we are your body, and we are important parts, each person. We need each other, and we need you. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for being with us wherever we are. Bring us all together soon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and are not all the members that have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. You know, Miss Jackie didn't tell you this, but, and I'm just guessing at her age, but back when we were children, you know, Mr. Potato Head, you had to supply your own potato. And it was a real potato, too. So, you know, now you get the plastic body. But back then, you just pulled out your biggest Idaho potato. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have heard your word read aloud. We have heard that you want us to be part of the body of Christ. Lord, as we consider this, as we consider what this means for each of us, be with us in that meditation. Lord, help us to see what you are calling us to be so that we might be the body of Christ in the world. Even though, Lord, we are divided by face masks and all of these other protective stuff, Lord, keep us connected. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, there was once a agnostic who happened to stumble over the edge of a cliff and was falling a great way, but was able to catch hold of a bush on the way down and was clinging there, clinging with all his might to this bush that was growing out of the side of the cliff. And he looked down and he saw how far the ground was below him, and he looked up and he said, God, I know I haven't always believed in you, but please help me now. I need help. And God's voice boomed out, Son, let go of the branch, and I will catch you. And the agnostic looked up and he said, is there anybody else up there? Sometimes we react to what God is calling us to do that way. We ask God what our purpose is, what his will is for our life, and then when we hear the answer, we say, really? Or are you sure? Or is there anybody else up there with another opinion? Because I'm not sure I can do that. Well, thinking about the body of Christ and bodies in general reminded me of a field trip I took when I was in the sixth grade. We went to the Walter Reed Medical Museum, which has a different name now and a different location, but it was the most memorable field trip I had ever been on. It was historical. There was a plaster cast of Abraham Lincoln's face and his hands that was taken when he was still living. Also, there was the bullet that he was shot with by John Wilkes Booth. And then there were the medical specimens, which to sixth graders were especially fascinating. They had some lungs preserved in formaldehyde, human lungs. One was from a smoker and one was from a non-smoker. And I decided right there at the age of 11 that I was never going to smoke. I did smoke a little bit in college, but I came to my senses. I remembered those black lungs and said, no, maybe not. There were cross-sections of brains. There was a human leg that was afflicted with elephantiasis, and it was huge. And perhaps what was most interesting to the 88 sixth graders who were there was a human stomach filled with hair. Somebody had eaten hair. Well, a couple of students had to go out and sit in the bus, but I was fascinated by the complexity of the human body and this chance to get a glimpse of what's inside of us. The psalmist writes in Psalm 139, 14, I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The human body is an amazing creation. Just consider your spinal column for a moment. Think about your posture right now. Are you slumped? Are you sitting up straight? Well, all of that, you can slump or sit up straight probably without thinking about it very much. But there are 26 bones in your spine, and they're interspersed with cartilage, and they have invertebral discs between each piece of the spinal column so that you can run and jump and walk without feeling pain. And then those 26 bones are controlled by 77 muscles connected to your spinal column and other parts of your body. And there's all of that, but we haven't even touched on the most important part, which is the nerves that branch off from the spinal column. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are complex organisms. And it's rather amazing that the complexity of the human body is what the Apostle Paul talks about or uses as a metaphor for the body of Christ, for the company of believers. We are coordinated to fill God's purpose just the way a person's bones and muscles and nerves and organs are coordinated to do the actions that they need to do, to work together. But first, Paul talks about us as individuals. The Message version of Romans 12:1 goes like this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. What would it look like if we took that everyday life of ours, that everyday life in which many of us are just trying to hold on as we make it through another day of new tasks done in different ways? What if we did take our everyday life and offer it to God, our hopes and frustrations, our feelings about technology at this point? My first reaction is, my life is a mess right now. How can I give this to God? My life is chaotic and barely organized, and right now there is a lot of dirty laundry in my life. And one reason it's like that is that we are 1 week before annual conference, and I'm part of the organizing process of that, and it's a new format. We have new challenges. We have a new director of Connectional Ministries. And at times, life seems a little overwhelming. And I'm sure it's the same for many of you, that you are doing new things you've never had to do before, that you're having to do them in new ways, that things just aren't like they used to be. We're all struggling. And yet God says, I want this ordinary life of yours. This is an offering to me. Mess or no mess. Dirty laundry or no dirty laundry. Paul stresses that this life that we can offer up to God, we are not alone in this. We are connected into a greater whole. And as Jackie said, with Christ as the head, with Christ as the one who shows us the way we ought to go and what we ought to be doing. Now, Paul was a complicated guy, and at times he does some complicated things with his rhetoric and his writing. He's talking about two spiritual bodies. You know, there's the individual body we each possess and our spiritual lives, and then there's the body of Christ. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Though we are diverse and different, we are connected. Even when it seems like the body of Christ is sort of spread out, since we can't physically come together, we are still, as individuals, connected into that greater body, even into a body that's more amazing than the human body, because it's the body of Christ. And I think about this particular body of Christ that is Bethany United Methodist Church, and it is every bit as complex and diverse as the parts of the human body. By occupation, by my reckoning, we are teachers and nurses and healers, doctors, IT people, truck drivers, police officers, coaches, CPAs, soldiers, students, athletes, bankers, artists, master gardeners, and I'm sure I have forgotten many categories. And by our relationships, we are mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, children, grandmothers, grandfathers, husbands, wives, and we are Christians, the body of Christ. And it's obvious to me that as a body, we can claim a whole host of gifts and abilities. However, with the pandemic and our inability to gather as we once did, it's harder to see that connectedness. I mean, we can't go into the fellowship like we used to do and share food with one another. We can't come out here and have an ice cream social and sit on the lawn. But we are still connected. And there are churches all over the state, the world, that are continuing that connection in any way that they can. Trying hard to be connected and be Christ in the world. I know that we have people who gather every Monday night as food pantry, and they are Christ to the world. They are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, I went on the walk to Emmaus, and if you don't know anything about that, that's okay. It's called a walk, but most of the walking that you do over the 3 days is from the bunkhouse to the dining room to the meeting room and back to the dining room. But it was a profound experience, and most of us felt like we had truly experienced unconditional love, agape love, the closest thing to heaven I will ever experience on earth. But then on the last afternoon at the closing ceremony, the spiritual director placed a cross around each person's neck. And she said, Christ is counting on you. And each of us replied as we had been instructed, "And I am counting on Christ." In a way, I think that encapsulates what Paul is saying in this 12th chapter of Romans. We, as an offering to God, must count on Christ. But Christ, who has gone on, is counting on us to be his body at work in the world. But to do that, to be a good and pleasing offering to God, we need to understand what is the mind of Christ. And I believe that while we are being called to be Christ in the world in this challenging time, to keep the body connected, even though we feel isolated or overwhelmed or uncertain, we are still one body. And every cell and organ in that body plays an important part. In March of 1981, President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. And was hospitalized for several weeks. Now, although Reagan was the chief executive, the president of the nation, his hospitalization did not have a huge impact on what went on in the country. But on the other hand, suppose the garbage collectors went on strike in some place like New York City. Well, then the city would literally become a health hazard. A three-week nationwide strike would paralyze some cities. Philadelphia had a garbage strike, and it was terrible. Who is more important, the president or the garbage collector? Well, in some ways, it's the garbage collector, and in other ways, it's the president. We all have a role and a part to play. The head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. But the most important thing is that we are bound together in a work that's greater than each of us. We have been called to share the love of Christ with the world, and the world desperately needs that love, that agape love, right now. And so, may we count on Christ, because Christ is counting on us to be the body at work in the world. Amen. Well, we're thankful for everyone who has given of themselves to the church. I was talking to another pastor yesterday. We were taping a service for annual conference, and he was saying that he had to learn how to do, you know, splice video together and get that out there. And I'm so thankful for all the people who make this happen, for all the people who make church happen, because it doesn't happen without all of us. So let us pray for all that's been given. Gracious God, thank you for all of those who give of themselves, who give of their time, who give of their stuff, their money, their contribution. We are thankful for all that comes together so that we can be church. Lord, bless all who give, and help us to bless those who are in need. Amen. Well, just a couple of reminders. Cindy will be back in the office tomorrow. So if you have questions for her, she will be there. Also, you can continue to send favorite songs in, and we'll do our best to include them in the worship service. And also, I have a joy. A couple weeks ago, we asked about where the fuse box was for the part of the church where my office and Cindy's office are, and we found it. Phil Meixel knew where it was. It was behind a picture of Jesus. And so he was able to go right to it and show me. So now we can turn the breakers off and put some new lights in my office. We do have some prayer concerns that have been shared. Well, actually, some joys and some concerns. Of course, we want to pray for our teachers and all of the people who make school happen, from the principal on down to the smallest preschooler. Also, we want to be in prayer for, not in prayer, but we want to give thanks for grandparents. This is Grandparents' Day, so remember to remember your grandparents today. And also, we want to pray for all the folks who have either tested positive for COVID. We know there are a lot of people in Harrisonburg among the JMU students who have tested positive. And we also want to pray for those folks who have been exposed and are waiting in quarantine to see what comes next. So let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us as you have, all different, all diverse, but all your beloved children, all beautiful in your eyes, all made in the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to see that image of Christ in one another in a time when division seems more common than community. Lord, help us to see our commonality, what it is we all hold in common, that spark of life that you have put in each one of us. And Lord, forgive us when we don't see it, when we have that moment, as we all do, when suddenly we just can't see Christ in the other. Lord, forgive us and help us to get back on the road you would have us travel, following in the path of Jesus Christ, living as you would have us live, loving as you would have us love, working together as you would have us work. Lord, in the midst of difficulties, give us strength, give us hope, build us up, and show us what it is we can do with this ordinary life that will glorify you. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we'll finish with our last songs. Blessed be the name, and God be with you till we meet again.
Be the
last week.
The body that enlightens and loves the world. There we go. Amen. Oh.